Hello, everybody. Welcome to Block Bites. It's a proper DeFi Tuesday today. Charles is back, and he's got some explaining to do. We're going to be talking about Arbitrum STIPs. Trust me, it's actually pretty interesting. We're going to be talking about Pudgy Penguins, Trader Joe getting sued by Trader Joe, and a little bit about one of our fan favorite projects, Frax. So guys, stick around. Going to be loads of good information. Get educated and say hi to Charles. So Taylor, please, let's start the show.
They take your money, then they take you down with them. Let's do better together. ERN, extremely resilient, naturally.
Hello guys, it's me, Corval here. Today's show would not be possible without our sponsor, Shimmer Network. Just as a reminder, Shimmer is a DAG-based feeless Layer 1 network that's both fast and highly scalable. You can learn more about them at shimmer.network.
Hey, Charles, you ain't been on the block in a minute, have you?
You're right. I haven't been on the block. Bites.
I had a song I wanted to play, but I have to use Chrome because Brave browser is too slow. So the moment is lost in time. But, dude, welcome back. Look at you. You're in your trailer park tuxedo, dude.
Should I put a shirt on?
No, that's cool, man. That's
all right.
Your favorite stash, JW? Get the fuck out of my chair.
JW, with that PFP, how can you say that?
That's oh my okay. God. I can't be mad at him.
I have to go up my face on the...
Like if you think we were in a bear market. Buddy, been in one, haven't we? Tell people how you've been. What you've been up to? You've been going to the mess hall, getting your poutine at Canada University?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I've been snowed in all summer. No.
Dude, a Florida boy like me would believe you.
Yeah. Dude, I actually have a funny story. Not to rip on any Americans in the audience, but these two particular Americans, there's a funny story. Okay, so my dad lived in Toronto way back when. And one time he was at the Toronto airport and some people like flew in and it was like July. It was like 40 degrees in Toronto. And some people flew in and they were like had these like giant parkas on. They had like snow boots and like all this crap. And then he was like, I have to talk to these people. He was like, so like, what are you guys, where are you guys coming from? Like, what are you doing? Where are you coming from? And they were like, oh, like Chicago. Like it was like East Coast. Like northern US. It was like, why are you wearing, they're like, we thought it was gonna be cold. Like it's like a 2 hour flight. So some people do actually think like as soon as you cross the border, it's just like snow. Well,
you know, I guess like a lot of people, you know, don't judge the distance properly because it is like all of Canada, like where everyone lives is like right along like what, like a 10-mile strip along the border or something. It's not that you guys don't go that deep because most of it is just tundra.
That's true. That is a good point. Yeah.
Chicagoans should have known better. It gets cold.
You're going to Toronto, you're from Chicago. I mean, Jesus, it's like right there.
Embarrassing.
Anyways, I've been good.
Nice.
Drowning in schoolwork. I have 5 exams next week, which is kind of upsetting. But
we can't handle Charles if he gets any more educated in this chat, dude. You're gonna get your own professor tenureship, dude.
It's all right. I'm not getting the highest level of education. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's pretty mid.
Highest level of education. You're doing all that studying just so you can read governance forms. Isn't that something?
Yeah, exactly. I'm honestly finishing because I just like it would be stupid not to finish.
Yeah,
but I don't really have any plans for my degree. It's like, oh, I want to work in DeFi, and no one cares. So,
well, I mean, economics degree has got to come in handy in DeFi. A lot of these people have surface level understandings of economics, like I do, a very cursory understanding of economics. I feel like understanding economics more in depth will allow you to design more successful systems and maybe even exploit them more. You can work with Gensler. That's a good point too. That's always a fallback option. Yeah. So you can twerk with them too.
Yeah.
Keep your options.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, like anyone can, as far as DeFi is concerned, mm-hmm. you can, you know, you can get up to speed in like a year.
That's what everyone always says.
Like you're learning economic systems, whether you like it or not. If you're studying mm-hmm. DeFi, if you're studying incentive models, like you're getting the information. So it's, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it'll come in.
I think sometimes though, like the incentive models and the structure of a lot of the economies of DeFi are kind of like skewed to being like fucked up or like deceptive. I mean, I got something we can argue about here, and you can use your economics degree to prove me wrong, dude. The Arbitrum proposal for Ramses. Ramses' Arbitrum proposal.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Drama around this. Are you guys familiar with Ramses in the chat? Solidly Fork, Arbitrum. We've got some big names in here, like North, which I think is one of Kanye West's kids. Dog, which is a character from Fallout. Ren 6, Alpha, and CNA. But yeah, no, this is a pretty influential and successful project, Charles. You were telling me they've got a lot of goodwill in the community because they did a lot of was it no cost or cheap like auditing for people?
Not really, but I did want to say one thing before we talk about this proposal a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to recommend to anyone who hasn't gone through like a bunch of these proposals, I like highly, I can't recommend it enough because there is a literal metric fuck ton, excuse my language, of like insight and like alpha or whatever, tons of insight on every project that is submitting a proposal. And you're not going to get a better like summary of like their metrics and like the sentiment around the project than you are on a forum like this. And so grant rounds like this are such an amazing opportunity to like familiarize yourself with a bunch of projects on a network, and get some, you know, do some research. It's like the best research ever. It's all summarized for you, and then you get like a ton of community members chiming in and like offering their thoughts, and so it's just like unparalleled level of information in front of you. So I highly recommend reading governance proposals, especially for grants, because it's like, you know, the projects just give all the information about themselves. And anyways, it's awesome.
Co-sign that, Charles, because I learned a lot reading this grant and the comments to it today. And it kind of becomes clear to me that the governance forums, that's like the real, you know, when people say do your own research, this is like where you can really do it. And not just in like the, is this thing a scam or whatever, but more so like, where is the market going? Like, where are opportunities going to be happening? Like, what's launching where? What sounds exciting? What are people excited for? What are like the chosen ones for like a particular chain or project? So really, really useful stuff in here. You can see who's going to get a lot of money, so you know who's worth interacting with, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also like, if nothing else, it's super entertaining, you know. Mm-hmm. Like,
this is upstream of Twitter, I would say.
Yeah.
You know,
but yeah, it's like roided up, you know, like democratic process with like financial incentives. It's like crazy social engineering, you know. And it's fascinating. And I mean, I don't know, there's like mostly, you get a lot of smart people in there like giving a ton of like knowledge, dropping knowledge. So anyways, yeah, I very much recommend that.
We can come back to this Woo Trade, Woo and Woo X a little bit later. I don't know anything about them, but we can come back to it. So you were really worked up about this. Charles was blowing up my phone last night screaming because he was so upset with how this proposal went down. So Ramses, like we said, concentrated liquidity, solidly fork, right? So like Thena, as we're thinking, right? But on Arbitrum, they've got their own little novel features. They're not that large, in terms of TVL, but huge in terms of volume. The numbers, they got them down here somewhere, but if I remember, total volume locked somewhere around 600,000, but doing millions in volume. Token price is down 90%. So from the outside, they're kind of an ugly duck, right? They don't look too pretty if you just pull up their page, but lots of volume, which is what's important for a network, right? And they requested a grant of about $1 million, 1.2 million ARB for incentive matching. And originally, this is where the drama came in. They were going to, if you guys remember how the Solidly system works, they were going to give all of the incentives from this program to BE RAM lockers. So the NFT
voters.
And
which is where incentives go. Yeah, they were basically just going to bribe with it.
Oh, their TVL match 10 million.
Their TVL is a lot bigger than 600K. What? I'm not sure. It's closer to, I'm sorry, I was going to jump in.
Oh, it was the market cap, maybe. It was
lower. Yeah. Although the market cap is misleading because so much of their RAM is locked. So the market cap takes in circulating supply, and so much RAM is locked up. Like, look at the FDV. It's a much better metric. And I saw a bunch of comments like that in the, like, their market cap's so tiny, like in the forum.
Mm-hmm.
But FDV is what matters, not market cap. And yeah, and their TVL is 10 mil, which is like pretty good. They do tons of volume. Like, they're just really, really efficient. And that's part of the reason why I like them. I like their product. I'm not coming here as a bag holder. I like their product. And like this proposal, sorry for cutting you off, but it just turned into this huge argument about like Solidly and about like the system itself.
This is what I was looking at.
Just it turned into such a, yeah, I mean, you know, that's miss, I mean, he did,
I missed,
list the,
I missed my words, I'm sorry, but yeah, so Charles, before you get into your passion defense, because I get what you're saying here, there was this guy Pearl in the forum. I mean, I learned a lot reading all of the his responses and people's responses to him, but he's essentially saying that Solidly, he doesn't have anything against Solidly personally, but he doesn't think it's super beneficial to give them these grants. He's making the claim that when you give a grant to a Solidly protocol, what happens is all of the money. So who owns most of the VE NFTs? It's going to be their affiliated projects or the protocol itself, the Solidly project itself. So they're just going to get the money. It's just a way for them to funnel the money to themselves, essentially, through bribing themselves, is what his claim essentially is. Now, Charles, you have the counterpoint, right? The counterpoint being not true, not on the way, and actually encourages a lot of more people to use the DEX on this chain, gets higher. What is the thing for Solidly? It gives you like greater
the
capital efficiency on like your volume. Was that it?
Well, not cheaper, usually. And I will liquidity? Okay. I will say that I have a lot of criticisms about the model, and I have a ton of criticisms about a ton of Solidly forks. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of valid criticism of the model of the DEX itself, and there's a lot of like shortfalls to the model. But there are protocols that have successfully implemented them, and like Ramses, like Thena, like Velodrome, that have put forth DEXs that are good DEXs, you know. Like, I mean, Ramses is one of the most efficient of them all, and that's usually the criticism that I have of Solidly forks, is that like, to be perfectly honest, Velodrome is not an efficient DEX. Thena is like pretty efficient. I'm just saying, like, Ramses is one of the most efficient Solidly forks out there, and that's my biggest criticism of the Solidly like trading engine. So that aside, you can. Why are you doing?
What the heck? I have to share screen, so like, I just had like a pop up, and it's like throwing everything off. Here we go. Sorry.
Yeah. So. You know, the point raised, like, I understand if you have if this guy or multiple people on the forum have you know, criticisms of where the incentives are going. But it's a criticism of the model itself, you know, like the way that incentives are used is to bribe voters. They don't do pool to incentives, which is just directly incentivizing LPs. I would argue, even with the feature that it goes to voters, and that, you know, very large VE RAM in this case, very large voters tend to be partner protocols, tend to be the protocol itself. Even considering that, the incentives, directing the incentives in this way is way, way more, you get way more bang for your buck than incentivizing LPs directly. And that is the benefit of Solidly. So like the trading engine usually sucks. They're usually not that efficient. In Ramsey's case, they're way more efficient than like every other Solidly fork. But the benefit of Solidly is that the incentive model works well, and you get, by bribing, and this is why they've popped up everywhere, and this is why so many protocols bribe via Solidly, it's because you get, you know, you tend to get more, a multiple of liquidity per dollar of,
that's it,
of incentives that you give out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yes, obviously the Ramsey's protocol owns a lot of VRAM. There's probably, I think there's 30 or 40 protocols on Arbitrum that hold VE RAM positions. By the way, I don't have a problem with ARB going to the partner protocols. I mean, that's like, it benefits the ecosystem.
Uh-huh.
But who else are the VE RAM holders? It's people who are committed to,
like you and me, dude. Well, not you.
There's a bunch of other users.
Me, I don't have it, but
I mean, there was a major, like, there was a major just sort of like disconnect in the discussion here, where people kept separating VE RAM holders from VE from users, and it's like the users are the VE RAM holders, like long-term committed users to Arbitrum, to Ramsey's, are VE RAM holders. LPs aren't necessarily the ones who are like in it for the long term, and typically what happens is LPs get the rewards and they dump them. So I don't know. I just
mean, yeah, this is like a symptom of, you know, mercenary liquidity was the talk of the town for a good while when there was a lot of money around in this, in the right ecosystem, right? But now people are chasing more, just get those numbers as high as possible. The TVL, let's see as many LPs as we can.
I mean, yeah, just trying to design incentives in a way that like keeps liquidity around and like keeps it going, sustainable incentives. And, you know, not to say that the Solidly system is just like perfectly sustainable incentives for all the partner protocols, but it's a step in the right direction away from pool to incentives. In my opinion. Anyways, that doesn't even matter because they changed the protocol. They changed the proposal.
Yeah, they changed the proposal. To what was originally proposed, which was, I could just get it to it from here, that it is a now going directly to LPs, right?
Yeah. So they did this to satisfy all the people in the forum and all the delegates. And it's still like, people just still were like, oh, you know, okay, well, there's something else wrong here. I don't know. I'm a fan of the project. I think the team is really upstanding from what I've seen. Again, I'm not a bag holder. I'm just, I really like the team. I really like the project. It's doing okay for now, but they need to reach quorum. So anyways, I was just kind of like, the discussion in the forum just got way out of hand, and it was just like a huge shit show. And I just felt bad for them because like, most of the discussion wasn't even about the actual like proposal. And even after they tried to like satisfy, they were like, okay, fine, we won't take any, like VE RAM holders won't get any of the ARB. People still just like, I don't know. They're a native protocol. They're a really efficient DEX. They drive a lot of trades on Arbitrum, and that's good for the chain. And
yeah,
they've been nothing but like upstanding in terms of, and what you were saying before with like the audits or whatever, they've white hatted funds for other protocols. Their team has like been engaged in white-hatted.
Is there a reason you're not a bag holder? Mr. McLean asks a good question.
I actually, okay. Maybe I was being a bit misleading. Oh. But I'm planning to buy some today.
Okay. After this episode. After he pumps, he's gonna buy it. This guy doesn't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it. I was a bag holder before. I sold some. And then I was planning to get some before this proposal, and then you guys saw it pumped 100%, and I was like, fuck, okay, I can't buy it now.
Did it really?
I kind of just put off, I don't buy anything, and I kind of just put this off. I was like, I'll just wait. And then it pumped insane in the last 2 weeks. So I've just been waiting for it to come down, but
Are you on Frax? Are you?
No, I own nothing. I own Stables and ETH and Oath, and that's it. I swear to God. Yeah.
Charles, you better get in, boy. I don't know. I guess we still got a couple more months of pain. My friends in the Illuminati are telling me that we got a couple more months. Yeah, man, that's crazy, dude. You don't own any, dude, but you're so passionate. Yeah, John Steps, you not own it. We're gonna talk about it a little bit later in the show.
Dude, but there's a bunch of projects that I really want to own, mm-hmm. and I just don't because of the economy, because of the equity outlook for Q4. I'm not a perma. Well, I'm a long term perma bull, but I'm not a bull right now. That's why I don't own any altcoins. I own mm-hmm. Oath because I'm a contributor, and I own Stables and ETH, and that's it. But I haven't bought any altcoins in months and months because
Charles is a truly an educated man because it's probably the smartest possible thing to do. He's gonna wait until I'm so poor I have to sell all of my alts for $20.
XS for 20 cents, and then I'm gonna dunk on all of you. No. But I will own Frax at some point. I'm just waiting.
I'm saving all my money so I can buy some Frax.
Equities are so maker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Equities are so overvalued right now. There's pain coming, guys. I'm sorry to say. That's what I think.
They just declared war. I don't know if you heard about that. What's that effect on the economy usually, Charles?
Well, actually, the funny thing. Okay, there are economists that are saying that, and this is exacerbated by declaring war. You need to spend a lot of money mm-hmm. if you're going to be in a war. Plus, the U.S. is paying, what is it, 10% of its GDP in interest on its debt. Maybe. So as they keep raising rates, it's just costing the U.S. government tons and tons of money. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are saying they're going to have to cut rates out of necessity because something's going to break. So I don't know, they could possibly engage in some sort of, maybe it's not cutting rates. Maybe it's pausing rates and some sort of quantitative easing or some sort of liquidity lending. They could, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, in which case maybe everything will go up and I'll cry. But
yeah, that's what we're praying on is Charles suffering as we all make up a lot of money just out of nowhere, thin air.
I agree with Philip. I don't think we've
not struggling yet. Dude, I don't know. The people are struggling. But there was another Arbitrum grant I thought was kind of interesting. I see them around a lot on Twitter. Have you heard of Senko Corp? So the Senko Dream Machine is a multimedia focused infrastructure protocol and suite of games hosted natively on Arbitrum. So their pitch is they're going to make a streaming platform, and so they requested 500k ARB to kind of incentivize streamers coming to their streaming platform on Arbitrum. This failed, but you know, I love a weird looking site, and this is what their site looks like.
Holy crap.
Funny.
That's kind of awesome. What are those things in the bottom?
Like, I don't know. I have no idea. Like, they don't. I have no idea
what's going on.
Oh, you can play music. Yeah, this is what the website. Okay, for you Zoomers out there, this is what the internet used to be like everywhere all the time. Yeah, you can play games and stuff.
I'm so confused.
They didn't get it. They didn't get the grant, so I don't think the site's going to get approved anytime soon. although maybe it doesn't need to be. It's kind of perfect as it is.
You kind of explained it to me before the show, and it sounded like a really good, but I didn't see the website.
Yeah,
and
they're kind of cheeky. You want to see their NFTs? This is what some of their NFTs look like.
Okay.
They're all 3D animated, like terrifying glitch figures. God.
Yeah, that's not really my thing, but
I think their bigger one is called Streets of Milady.
Look at those things.
Okay.
I feel like they should have like
there we go.
Some sort of if you're epileptic, you're not allowed to buy this NFT.
Yeah. I kind of like these ones though, a scrolling background and a running animation. There's a lot more going on than a lot of NFTs I see. But yeah, they didn't get the grant, so they're going to go to zero. They're dead in the water. It's over for them.
maybe not. Hey, anybody from Sanko, come prove us wrong. Come on the show.
But speaking of NFTs too, do you like Pudgy Penguins?
Yeah. As far as NFTs go, yeah. I like Pudgy Penguins.
Okay. Well, 3AC seem to like a lot of them too because they had 144 of them and they sold them to Spencer Ventures, which I don't really know what Spencer Ventures is. I'm assuming it's the company that owns those stores in the mall. You know? It seems to align with them. And they sold for mid six figures, which I think is significantly below what they were bought for. I mean, look at these things.
Yeah, although, correct me if I'm wrong, but Pudgy Penguins have been one of the collections that's actually held up pretty well.
Oh, has it?
Like, comparatively, like, it's, you know, held up pretty well, meaning it's probably down 50%. But, like, I think Penguins, I thought I think they've been holding up, like, really well. Let's see if we can, hold on. Is there a Pudgy Penguin chart? Penguins. Where do you find NFT charts?
I don't know. I don't hear too much about them. I just like to think, look at them. They're funny, dude. I think they're cute, man.
They are cute. And a lot of cool, like, a lot of founders have Pudgy Penguins in there.
Yeah, four price about five ETH. Yeah. So this might have been a good ass deal for old boy here. Old boy Spencer Ventures.
Dude, they're up. They're like up all time.
My
floor
God.
Price, dude, floor price in September of 2021 was 2 ETH, around 2 ETH.
Mm-hmm.
And now the floor is 5 ETH.
Well, in terms of USD, it's about the same then, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But still, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I do prefer the Penguins to the Apes. I agree with Taylor. I prefer the Penguins to the Apes. Yeah, I remember hearing about it when they dropped too. I do remember one of our former editors was big on Pudgy Penguins. He would tell me about them a lot too. They got a lot in the works. I guess it's like a very active NFT community. They might be one of the success stories, something to watch, but thought it was kind of interesting just to break it up a little bit before we get more into some more intense DeFi stuff here. Because Charles, are you ready, dude?
I'm ready, but I have a couple more things to say about the STIP.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just in general. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the GMX proposal for a second. Oh, obviously, it's going to get passed.
Uh-huh.
But, okay. When the STIP, like the proposal for the STIP went live, the original plan was to do 75 million ARB over, I think, 2 months, which is really, really short amount of time. But a bunch of like community members and delegates were kind of freaking out about the fact that it was 75 million ARB. And so they passed a proposal, like an amendment, to decrease it to 50 million ARB over 3 months. And I just wanted to say that I think this is kind of
too much money.
It is a lot of money. But I don't really understand why they decreased it, because $50 million ARB is 0.5% of the total ARB supply. And like 2 months is really short. I vibe with the longer time frame, but I don't know. I just think that they should have kept it at 75 million or even more, because I think everybody just has like bear market PTSD, and everybody's just like worried about the price of ARB going down. But I don't know. I just think the benefits from like a program like this are so much greater than the monetary costs. Like the network effects are so much greater. And when you realize that they reclaimed 60 million ARB from unclaimed airdrops.
So you're claiming that because they just got it like that. They got so much, they have no reason not to throw it around.
They have so much. And dude, like 75 million ARB over a few months is not going to do much to the price. Like it sounds weird. Like maybe it'll, you know, it won't go up, but it will in the long term because of like how many users and like projects you're going to attract, and like your volume is going to pick up, your TVL is going to pick up with like such an intense grant program. Plus like the ask from all the proposals is well over 100 million right now. So obviously not all of them are going to pass, but they are going to be well north of 50 million already. I don't even know what they do at that point. Like, I think they have to, come to some sort of agreement about like if they're going to give out more than the pre-agreed amount. But I don't know. I thought it was a bit ridiculous that everybody wanted to bring it down 25 million ARB. I literally saw, I just think this is really funny. I saw a comment on the proposal that was like, guys, 75 million ARB, that's like over 7% of the total supply. And it's not, it's 0.75%.
Jesus.
So some person, and it got a bunch of likes, and like people responded and were like, oh yeah, like
that's the problem with the
market. They're going to be broke in like 2 years. And I was like, you literally didn't do the math right. I don't know. I just think people were freaking out about the, like how much ARB was going to hit the market. I don't know. I just thought it was a bit short-sighted. And how it relates to the GMX proposal is that GMX is getting 12 million ARB, which is almost a quarter of the entire program.
So Arbitrum is just shoring up their entrenched interests more so than expanding at the moment, from what it seems like.
I
mean,
I don't know. Like, if you're going to have a smaller thing, I think they should be focusing on...
They're not sponsoring Senko Game Corp. They're not taking really risky bets.
No. But, like... It would be less of a problem if they gave out a bit more ARB, you know. Like, I just think they tightened up their spend, and so much of it is going to like really huge established protocols already on the chain. And I don't know if that's the best way to go about it. I think they should be prioritizing smaller projects, and maybe like capping the distribution of like some of the giant. I don't know. They're just staying with the guy that got them to the dance a bit, which I just don't know if that's going to be like, if that's going to pay off. Anyways, I don't know. I just kind of ranted about it.
No, I think so. Like, an interesting takeaway here is like the lessons I think people learned from like the last couple of years in DeFi when it came to like foundations and grants is that you got to be a little bit more discerning with how you give out grants, because sometimes you can get a bunch of junk, like people just hounding you, for the money, right? So essentially treasury rating you through the grants and then taking advantage of your community. So it does seem like they're being a lot more, it's almost like a good sign. They're being more pernicious, I think is the word. There's a word that starts with a P that means good with your money, but that's essentially what it seems like they're trying to do. They're trying to be a little bit more mature with how they process who they give grants to, but they might be erring too far on the side of the caution. But again, Charles, you know, we're in a bear market, we're in a recessionary period. I mean, the economists, I guess, aren't saying a recessionary period yet, but that might be the play to go, isn't it? You got to save, right? You don't want to be buying yet.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
They want to keep that ARB price as high as they can, as long as they can. But I get what you're saying. It is kind of disappointing for someone who's a builder or interested in trying out kind of newer things. I mean, even Solidly's not that new, but, you know, maybe untested.
Yeah, I just think it was a bit of a overreaction to the amount of ARB. And, you know what, there's probably something I'm missing. They're probably going to be doing multiple rounds of these. Maybe they're liquidity available. Even like 25 million ARB over the course of several months is not going to be is not going to break the system, or dude, hell yeah. I was distracted by his name.
25 million in
it is at least significant, but what's the difference?
It is ass.
It is significant, but what's the difference between that and 50 mil? You know,
25.
Shut up. But you just have more to, and it's not like these are gonna, these go to projects over 3 months. They're not hitting the market directly. You know, like the projects are seeping them into the market over the course of
recycling them. I guess that was like one of the biggest problems that Pearl had in the thread on that Ramsey's proposal. Is he was like, how can we be sure that this isn't just going to end up on the market? You know, so they're being very diligent about how they handle the emissions, or like how this Arbitrum is handled once it leaves the foundation, which I kind of like, dude. It makes me kind of bullish on them. I mean, you may not disagree with their short-term decisions, but the, you know, the right headspace is right.
Yeah.
Just saw Trader Joe Dex is getting sued by Trader Joe's Grocery for using your name. I need an ARB grant for legal fees. I actually had that on the docket here right after Frax. We can talk about it now a little bit. I mean, there's not a lot to it. I thought, for the longest time, I know Trader Joe's does a lot of like innovative stuff. Both the restaurant, both the grocery store and the project, the protocol, do a lot of innovative things, have some unique products, and have big value adds to their communities. But I was turned off originally when people were telling me about Trader Joe's, the crypto project, because I was like, that's just the name of a grocery store. Like, what a dumb thing to name yourself. Like, that's like naming yourself Publix, you know, or Winn-Dixie. Like, you're just asking to like get sued or something.
Costco coin.
And here we are. Yeah, Tesco coin. It's wild. They also have like kind of similar branding. If you ever like, you've been to Trader Joe's, right? Charles, what's your favorite snack at Trader Joe's?
Dude, I don't know. I've been like 3 times. We don't have Trader Joe's in Canada.
And you guys claim to be civilized. That's the funny thing, you know?
Okay, there was, I don't remember Trader Joe's. There was like this spread that was really good. It was okay. There was like this cinnamon, like, it was like cinnamon butter spread. Uh-huh. My snack game lacking, bro. You don't know the first thing about my snack game. I'm telling you.
I don't, dude. No one does.
I'm a big snacker. Y'all don't. You don't know me. I'm all about that dried fruit and nuts, baby.
Oh my god.
I make my own nut mix. I make my own trail mix, which is actually true.
Is Trader Joe's website actually TraderJoeXYZ.com? I feel like this is a scam.
Go through the cookie butter? DeFi Llama.
I don't like the cookie butter too much. Too sweet for me. You know what I fuck with, though, is those chocolate-covered marshmallows they got on a graham cracker. That's insane, dude.
Trader Joe's. You don't even heat them up? You don't make s'mores out of them?
No, it's just like a little snack. There's like a little candy. It's incredible. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Okay, it is TraderJoeXYZ.com. Yeah. Okay, so they changed the branding, but before it used to be a lot more similar to this, color wise. It still does have like the guy who does kind of strike me as someone who would shop at Trader Joe's. But yeah, they're getting sued. They probably do need a grant to help them out. I don't know how hardcore Trader Joe's, the store, is going to be on this. They did say it's hurting their brand because it's like defaming them to be associated with the crypto project, which is not good news for anybody. But interesting little story, kind of funny.
I saw a tweet. Z80 put out a tweet like 5 minutes before the show that was like, how hard is it to not name your project after a giant chain? It's like,
name it Trader Jane.
I don't know why. I don't know why they did that. And maybe they're based, like, maybe they're not US devs. Like, this could be a really easy answer, is that they actually don't know about Trader Joe's and they found out after they created the project. It I wonder how many users they've lost based on that. Users like yourselves that just look at it and they're like, this is fucking stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you look at the chart for them, it's not looking too good, but I think they're just also suffering the DeFi winter, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is they've been such a huge DEX for so long. They're like a top 10 DEX.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
The real Mr. Clean is coming for you next. That's right. Be careful. Next, we got on the docket. Now we got to talk about Frax, dude. There's no more running away from it. I know you're intimidated because John Steps is in the chat. He's going to school you. He's going to correct you. But you got to do your best here. V3 releasing.
My ego aside.
10% interest on deposits. I've seen that around. True or false, Charles?
True. For a short amount of time.
Is it like
a short amount of time?
It's like a maker style system?
Yeah, so it depends on utilization. So it starts at 10%, but as people go into the... Okay, I'm gonna back up. I'm going to just...
Okay, back up.
Do a little V3 overview here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so S-Frax is definitely a big part of it, which is the staked Frax. And it's similar to their two token system that they have with staked Frax ETH and Frax ETH. So they're doing the same thing for their stable via real world assets and via like treasury yields and short term money instrument yields in the real world. So their AMO system is going to stay relatively the same. So like they have like the Curve AMO, which is automated market operations, pretty sure. But that's how they keep Frax. That's how Frax stays at peg. They have a giant Curve pool. I think they have a Uniswap pool. And then obviously they have Frax Lend and Frax Swap. So these are all sort of protocols that work together. And they have smart contracts that perform market operations that keep Frax at a peg. Now, up until this point, Frax hasn't been fully collateralized. As everybody probably knows, it's a partial algorithmic stablecoin. I think right now it's like 92% collateralized. So it's somewhere between, you know, it ranges somewhere between, you know, like 85 and 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But with V3, they're going to attempt to fully collateralize Frax. So they're going to try and keep the collateral ratio at 100%, meaning they're going to have liquid reserves that are going to be equal to the amount of minted Frax, which is not the case, hasn't been the case yet. They've been using the Frax share token to keep it a peg. Anyways.
Dude, Philip says Frax survived UST and USDC DPEG. So for a partially algorithmic stablecoin, not too shabby.
No, yeah, it's a great system. It's a great system. But I think, yeah, they're raising the collateral ratio for V3. Just, I think, I don't know, just to give some peace of mind to people, or maybe to
make it even more sturdy.
Make it even more sturdy, maybe to attract some larger investors that might be a little bit hesitant right now with the less than 100% collateralization. But anyways, that's one of them. That's one of the things that V3 is bringing. So that, with the AMO system that's in place, that's continuing on. And then they have this staked Frax vault, and it's launching tomorrow, by the way.
Get your Frax ready.
So this is made possible through, and we talked about this before, but their FINRA's PBC, their LLC, that is the custody of their real world assets. It's actually, I don't know if it's legally owned by Frax, but it's they created it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to be tapping into real world assets. And they are going to be funneling those yields to the staked Frax vault. And so they've built this oracle that tracks the Fed interest rate, that makes all this possible, because they need an oracle to be monitoring the Fed interest rate on chain, or like giving that rate, feeding that rate on chain. So they built this oracle, they have this vault. They're going to be taking Frax deposits. They're going to be converting them into USD, US dollars. They're going to be putting them into short-term yield instruments. So like treasuries, commercial paper, whatever is closest to the Fed rate. So it'd be like, you know, 1-year treasuries or something, to get them 5%. They're going to be getting that yield, and then they're going to be basically keeping that yield and minting Frax, more Frax to give to the vault holders.
Classic. What do they call that? Seniorage. Somewhat. I don't know. I don't think that's right, but
I honestly don't even. Yeah.
Seniorage is the profit you make from minting money. But really what they're just doing is holding your collateral, taking the interest you would have made on the collateral and issuing you a stable coin, which is kind of what USDC is.
I don't think it's technically seniorage, because the profits will probably be in fees.
Mm-hmm.
So like they'll collect a certain amount of fees, but they're not. Anyways, I hope that makes
sense. So the connections between this and Maker, which we've talked about before, are pretty obvious, pretty stark. I've brought it up on the show before too, from Delphi Digital. There was an interesting analysis that was pointing out that when Maker implemented real world asset vaults, the price of the token jumped like 100% in the bear market. Pretty crazy stuff. So there's an idea that staked Frax is going to experience some kind of like massive, revenue boost because of this. But
it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. I would have expected Frax shares to jump already if that was going to happen, to be honest. But maybe people are waiting to see how the vault performs.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't.
Damien is talking a big game here. He's saying that their design, Frax's design, is more sustainable and better than Maker's. They're not just copying Maker. They're doing something a little bit better. I suppose because of what you're saying with these oracles, they're trying to bring the true Fed yield on chain, like the true rate on chain, because I guess Maker is approximating as opposed to what Frax is going to be doing.
Yeah.
Pretty big with his real world asset narratives. This is what I'm talking about, baby.
Yeah. And then John Stebbs dropping some more knowledge about Frax Chain. So that's Frax Chain is kind of like their end game thing. There's a lot of lore about it. and he seems to have some alpha. I actually didn't know that account abstraction for some. That's really cool.
I think this might actually be Kazamian, dude.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But I think Frax Chain is they're targeting Q1 of next year. So that's really, really exciting. I'm really excited to see what it looks like. And what you were saying with the 10% before. So they're starting the yield for the staked Frax at 10%, and then it'll go down as utilization increases. They have some base level of reserves that they're going to be funding the 10% with, and they're just going to fund it as long as until they can't. And then they'll just be, it'll basically be direct bond yield to the, anyways.
Phillips, the governments will be happy to offload debt in the crypto space. This is something I'd considered, because a lot of the problems that the Fed's experiencing right now, right, are they cannot find any buyers for this long-term debt, or for any of the debt, really. They're having trouble pushing these bonds. I talked about it a little bit last week, I think. Charles, I don't know if you saw this, but you know, people talking about de-dollarization because people aren't buying these T-bills from the Fed anymore, China, Brazil. But what's interesting is they're not buying T-bills, but they're just buying other investment vehicles in the U.S. So we're still winning, baby. But the problem is they can't finance the debt. They can't sell it anymore. So you would think people, the crypto space would be happy to gobble it up. But Philip, I don't know if there's enough demand. Like, that's a big, huge, fat pill to swallow. That's like, we're talking nations of millions, billions even need to buy it.
Trillions. Yeah.
Yeah. You like literally like, China, a nation of a billion people. That's what can offset this amount of debt that they're trying to sell.
Yeah, you need literally trillions of dollars to be able to. Plus, the other thing is
if FTX was still around, maybe we could have minted that. Yeah. In there.
Could have dumped it all on him. He could have been the bag holder. Mm. Exactly. Thank you. I was just about to say this. Also,
smarter than Pavel, but I'll learn my lesson. He's thinking.
The other thing is, no one's going to be buying, like, even if they were, like, okay, no one in the crypto space is going to be buying long-term debt instruments.
25-year, 10-year bond. You don't think no. I've got that? You don't think I got ambitions that long, Charles?
I mean, yeah, you can, maybe. But at least for a while, like the intro to RWAs that I see right now is short-term debt instruments. So they can do things like staked frax. Mm-hmm. Because the staked frax can't take on any duration risk if they're going to for a product like this. They need short-term treasuries that they know are going to pay out in a year. They can't be holding like these assets for like 20 years and like paying out people in the vault. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So duration risk is a big factor. I'm assuming at some point there will be like long-term, you know, bonds on chain, but I don't think any protocols are going to want to be buying long-term bonds right now, just like everybody else in the world.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, I honestly don't know why anyone would buy any. I know there's some sort of financial wizardry where you could get some sort of use out of it. There must be, but because there is a price on these assets, like they're not zero, they're not free, you know? But I honestly can't imagine what it would be.
I wish I knew more. I should have done my degree in finance, for God's sakes.
I might go back and do it. Bonds are very interesting. Dracon's got an interesting podcast on bonds. It was like 2 weeks ago. Speaking of another Dracon affiliate, dude, Souvlaki and I were talking a little about real world assets, and I want to get your opinion on this. I want to convey one of his concerns that really struck me and stuck with me to you and see what you think about it. The real world asset narrative is not as sexy because of the custodial risk. There's way more steps between you and this yield, because like, why do it? Like, why? I don't know. I don't think Souvlaki said it in so many words. He said it a lot more eloquently than I, but I'm going to say this, like, why would I buy T-share or not T-share? Why would I buy Frax? why would I buy Toom? Why would I buy Toom when the interest rate, like I can buy from treasurydirect.com.gov is higher or the same, and I get it directly from the source. Like I am the custodian, like I own the actual asset in my pocket, you know?
Yeah. I agree with Souvlaki. That's a pretty big concern of mine. It depends on the protocol that's offering it and what their system is. I really like how Frax has done it, having their own sort of like corporation that's custodying these assets. Proof of reserves is something that is necessary for like RWAs to come on chain. So I don't know, like as a user, I would feel comfortable with less parties being involved so that I have to do less research on the people actually custodying everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does kind of suck, but to your last point, you live in the US.
Yeah.
So you can buy treasury bills from US.gov. I mean,
Houston,
I guess
you can't.
Yeah.
Cause I'll sell you some, dude. Yeah. I'll sell you some at a very fair rate.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, there are people around the world, just got out of jail.
Yeah. This is Charles, like Gucci Mane comeback. He's going to drop another album too. Two, three more right after this podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think like the barriers to entry for T-bills on chain are going to be less than the barriers to entry for certain groups of people worldwide for buying like US assets. Oh God. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Like theoretically. Yeah.
You're not wrong. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Yeah. I share, I don't know. I didn't really have anything smart to say about that, to be honest. I share Souvlaki's sentiment. Mm-hmm. I don't like the custody aspect. And it just, as a user, it just requires me to do a lot more research. Mm-hmm. And he makes a good point. Like, you know, I think there's a long way to go for.
I think the appeal is going to be the second. So kind of what John Steps is saying here is like the secondary things I can do once I have it. Because like once I physically own a treasury, like there are things that traditional financiers can do with it to generate even more yield off of it. But if it's on chain, that's even easier, dude.
Yeah,
I could just loop it. I could just loop it on Granary or whatever on Ethos. So I think that might be some of the appeal. You are taking on just a lot more risk, and that's not a bad thing. I mean,
yeah. Imagine all the stuff you're going to be able to do with SFRAX.
Oh, yeah. With SFRAX, my mind is boggling at the possibilities of all the money I can make, which is literally dozens of dollars because I'm so poor. But yeah, so we're almost at the hour mark here. We got games.
Oh, my God. What? No way.
What's that?
Sorry, I'm just really surprised that we are at the hour mark.
That's crazy. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, bro. So we got Gains Network left, which we put on the thumbnail. I think we got to talk about it. I don't know if it's easy to talk about it a little bit because they do a lot, and they're cool. I'm uneducated. I'm uninitiated in the ways of Gains, I'll be honest. But what Charles was telling me before the show was getting me kind of excited, dude. Apparently, Charles, I'll let you tell him. I'll let you give him the good news. If you guys are in on Gains Network, there's some good news. Charles, hit him with it.
All right, here we go. I'm kind of sad that Mr. Got Plenty isn't here today. I was looking forward to
him
heckling me.
He was here
at
11:30.
Oh.
30 minutes before the show started. He was one of the first comments. Gains Network, G-Trade.
Bro, come back. All right, G-Trade, let's go. So Gains Network runs G-Trade. G-Trade is a trading platform. You can trade Forex. You can trade crypto. You can trade commodities.
Mm-hmm.
They offer insanely high synthetic leverage if you want it. And the way it works is that all the collateral put down before you start trading is in DAI. And then all the DAI collateral goes into a vault. And it underwrites all the trades, and the P&L of the vault is inverse to the traders. So it's like GLP. So basically when the traders lose, the DAI that they put down goes into the vault and the vault wins, and then vice versa. And the vault also collects fees.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very, very description of G-Trade. Other cool things is they have their own decentralized Oracle network. It's like a custom network of oracles built by Chainlink that I think it's the first one. It's the first type of network like this that's that Chainlink has built for a protocol. But anyways, they have a lot of really good sources for their price feeds. And a couple months ago, they implemented this feature called lookbacks, which are really cool. Okay, so the way it worked before and the way it works on most trading platforms is when someone opens a trade or like closes a trade or someone gets liquidated or some sort of event happens on the platform, all these events are handled by a network of bots. So like if someone gets liquidated, there's like liquidation bots that come in and they are talking to the oracles and going, okay, you know, I need you to verify a price so I can either execute this trade or liquidate this position or something like that. So when the problem comes in, when the network is really congested. So when the network is really congested, the bots that are doing something, like let's say it's a liquidation bot. Uh-huh. I'm getting to the point here. Let's say it's a liquidation bot,
yeah.
And the bot wants to liquidate a position, and it says to the Oracle network, I need a price for the liquidation so I can execute this. Mm-hmm. If the network is really congested, that could be delayed by like 20 or 30 seconds or something like that. 15
Too long.
Seconds. Too long. By the time that the liquidation occurs, the price will have already changed in that time because of the congestion on the network. And this mm-hmm. is a problem for a lot of trading platforms. So in the liquidation case, that's a problem for the protocol, because sometimes the price can dip below the liquidation price, but it comes back up quickly and the network's congested and they can't actually execute the liquidation. Mm-hmm. Or people put in a trade and the price they get is worse than when
they put it
that
in,
trade
yeah.
in because the network's congested. So GTrade has these things called lookbacks, mm-hmm. where the oracles have they have historical prices, and so when the bots ask for a price, they also submit a timestamp to the oracle, and they go,
okay.
This is when this thing should take place, or like when this event happened. I need the price for when that happened, not the price now.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer solution too. It seems so simple.
Apparently, it's really, really technically like challenging.
Uh-huh.
But typical.
That's what the coders always say. That's what these programmers always say, so they can charge you $250,000 for Hello World 2.
Yeah, no. So anyways, huge advantage for the traders, huge advantage for the protocol. It hugely de-risks like the vault, the collateral vault. Anyways, I just thought it was cool. I know I just probably lost like everybody watching, so sorry.
No, I mean, I think that's a really interesting feature, and it's another, like, GTrade is very appealing to me, not just because of this, but because of what we were talking about. The thing I wanted you to say, though, what I was teeing you up for, though, was that all the revenue that was going to be going to the founders is now going to G-stakers. I don't know, whoever owns stakes the native token.
Sorry,
they're getting 100% more, 100% more yield. That's what we need, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd get in on that if I had plenty. You know what I'm saying?
yes. GNS stakers, which is the Gains Network token. The yields, the platform yield was 33% before, and now it's over 60%. Or given that this proposal passes, they're directing a ton of more revenue to GNS stakers. I will say that the caveat is that 14% of the supply is going to get minted for this to happen.
14% of the supply is going to have to get minted for this to happen?
Yeah. Like four and a third GNS tokens are going to have to get minted to fund development where the fees would have funded it before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to be locked for a year, though. So it's not too bad.
There is going to be some liquid, like they have these NFT things that are going to be redeemable, and people are going to pay. They're going to pay out liquid GNS for these NFTs. But anyways, revenue for GNS is going way up, but the supply is going to increase a lot. That's basically the two things that are happening.
We can't just win, can we? We can't just get a simple W, can we?
Nope. But G-Trades is sick. Gains Network is sick.
Yeah.
I really like their platform. I shorted during the FTX thing. I was like shorting freaking everything on Gains, and it was great. It worked awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Having all that money.
It was like $200.
Damn, Charles.
I was like, I'm just gonna have some fun today. I'm gonna try and like forget about my bags.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like traded with like $100 and I made like a 3x.
Nice. Yeah, I think we might be at the end of the shorting season here soon. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. There's always room for shorting, to be honest, but things might be turning around here soon. I don't know. It's kind of hard, weird to say that after like there's been like a war declared. You know, the economy's doing shit. But
dude,
how much worse could it get? Yeah,
just farming my stables.
Yeah, just rolling the stables. You got any good stable yields for us before we sign off?
Yes, I do. Let's go. I want to bring everyone's attention to Yearn.fi.
A little website you might not have ever heard of called Yearn.
Let me just disconnect my wallet so people don't see.
Oh, you're doing the screen share?
All my bags. I got it. I got you.
Sharing the whole window thing is killing me, dude.
I'm sorry, bro. Yes, shorting with tons of size, Aaron. I don't trade. So when I do trade, I use like $2. It's just for entertainment. It's not to make any money. All right.
Gambling.
Can you all see this? Yeah, just some gambling. Put me in, coach. Throw me on the screen, Corval.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that? I'll see. Oh, but I probably all right, can. Now we're fighting over it.
I'm ready to play. Hey, thanks for having me back, everyone. Hey, I missed dude, y'all. I know I rambled like the entire time.
No,
I'm out of practice.
We learned so much.
But I've been having a great time. Okay, everybody, look at my screen. This is Yearn.finance. I am on the Optimism chain right now. And what I've been really enjoying is
holy
the
cow.
Vaults for Velodrome pools. So these are auto compounding, obviously. The one thing about farming solidly is that you get emission tokens rather than fees. So if you want to lock those in, if you're not trying to accumulate, you gotta sell your rewards. So I'm really enjoying the auto compounding vaults on Yearn. So let's filter by TVL. Let's just go. Okay, got some stables here. But I mean, look at this, like Alchemist ETH and Wrapped ETH, insane rewards. Let's look at some, my was a little bit depegged. Come on, look at this. ERN LUSD, you're getting 32%.
Ooh, stables.
The vault has like 600K in it. Like it isn't small. You're farming stables, you're getting 18% in base rewards. And then you get OP on top of that. So your LP token is growing by 18%. And you're getting OP.
You're getting overpowered on top of it.
It is overpowered, seriously. So I would very much recommend going through. I'm assuming none of you guys want to be on mainnet. But I would recommend going through the Optimism page.
Checking out these, well, I know you're an Optimism bag holder. Big red.
I actually don't have any OP.
Oh my god.
I know.
He literally just has stables and oath.
Dude, literally. Come on, Frax, Dola. Look at these pools. These are insane. Anyways, okay. The other part of Yearn, which is really awesome and relatively new, is the YETH page, which is an aggregation of all of these. All of these LSTs. So you can see the composition. You can see what they're farming. You can see the APR. So if you buy YETH, you are getting an index token of all of these LSTs. Mm-hmm. And You can stake this index token right here.
Okay.
Into Yearn, and you get all of the trading fees that happen when they reorganize the composition. So I think I saw, okay. Maybe I can.
For rebalancing?
Put me in, coach. Yeah, when they rebalance, I'm going to find a tweet that shows this really well. But the APR is really good, and you can just have an index token and spread out your LST risk over all of these different LSTs and not be fully in one, if you know what I mean. So YETH is a really dope thing that went live kind of soon.
Badass.
Dude,
well, that's a walk through the yield fields there, if I've ever seen one.
Oh, was it Corn?
Corn?
OMG Corn?
I'm not buying
a urine.
Corn, dude.
Dude.
Oh, it's a guy?
Here we go. He's a urine contributor. Everybody should know, staked YETH holders get all the yield from swaps in the YETH pool in addition to the native LST yield. Look at the size of these. Oh, wait. I'm not sharing my screen. There we go. Look at the size of these swaps. I mean, they're not small. Mm-hmm. 22 ETH worth. 43 ETH worth. That's a massive swap. Wow. The fees for that are going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I love Yearn. Big Yearn fan. And check out Yearn, the Earn Stern. Dude. Check out the Earn Stern vaults on Yearn. As well,
check out the Earn Stern vaults on Yearn. Wow, that's a mouthful. That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, thanks, Charles. I appreciate the walk through the yield field here. I mean, these are pretty nice, man. They're looking pretty good.
No problem.
As good as things can look in this market without being complete and total scams.
So, yeah,
man, it's been great having you back, Charles. I think we learned a lot today, dude. We covered, I think so. We talked a lot about Solidly, and I think in an interesting way that I hadn't really thought about it before. It's good frack stuff. And as for gains, like Emmett's saying, probably one of the few protocols to pay attention to over there on Polygon, GMX was having trouble competing with GNS. But yeah, Charles has to go back to school after this one. Don't you, Charles? You got it. This is just a temporary return.
Yeah.
We're going to miss you, dude.
I can probably do... There will probably be another surprise appearance sometime in the next couple months. But like next week, definitely not. I have midterms coming out of my ass. So I'm sorry.
Understood, brother.
Yeah.
Well, man, anything you want to plug before we sign off? School, education, the value of a good education.
Ooh, I do want to plug The Optimist.
Okay.
I'm not logged in. Okay. It's the Optimist Twitter. It's Sublease media platform. Mm-hmm. I co-host the podcast. We do really good spaces. I just did a space with Beavis and Tex from Bond about incentive models, and it was super interesting. The newsletter is really good. Anyways, check out the Optimist if you want to have get some super chain mm-hmm. alpha and get up to speed.
Let's go. Hell yeah, fellas. You heard it here.
Damn, Mr. Got Plenty.
Just comes in right time. At the end. Dude, we've been waiting for it.
I'm so happy. Right. He came in, snuck one in.
Well, this has been me, Corval, here with Buddy Charles with a special DeFi Tuesday edition. Hope you guys all had fun. Hope you guys took something away from this. And we'll be seeing you on Thursday. We got Beavis, and who knows what we're going to do. It got a little wacky last time. Maybe it'll get wacky again. Who knows? Peace out, fellas. Remember to like and subscribe. Adios.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Corval.